KSTL 690, East St. Louis, St. Louis.
This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner, licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, St. Louis, how are you doing? It is Pocket Watching with JT. I am Jason Thornton, your certified financial planner on these radio airways and live streaming on YouTube right here, right now. I know it is the 4th of July. I'm aware, clearly, many of you are eating barbecue. You're getting ready to pop off your fireworks. There's all these things that you're celebrating, but I'm just here as a friendly reminder. After all of your celebrations, after everything is over, if you still have debt in your life, that debt is going to be waiting for you on Tuesday. Now, I'm not here to bring you down. I'm here as a resource. I'm here to help you. So if you've got money questions, I have money answers for you. So give the radio station a call. Give us a call at 314-969-6900. That is 314-969-6900. Give me your personal money questions. Give me your business money questions. I will do the best I can to give you a recommendation to help you meet your financial goals. All right. I know it's party time. I know a lot of you are dealing with family and being excited, but I am still here on Money Mondays to help you guys out. Now, of course, for those of you who are unable to give the radio station a call, you can always go to www.pocketwatcher.net. That is my website, www.pocketwatcher.net. And there you can click the Ask JT button. Just give me a name, any name. I just need something. I don't need your full government name. I don't need your phone number, social security number. Give me a name and your question, and I will do the best I can to help you guys out. All right. So before I go to the phone calls, before I go to the questions in the queue, we got to have a quick conversation here, people. A quick heart to heart about what we need to be doing to make sure that we are lining up all of our dreams and goals financially to the things that we actually have to get done. Because there are people online, there are people all over who are promising you everything with some magical financial literacy course. You don't have to tell me, I know. People email me, they DM me, they send me screenshots of all of these so-called financial experts that are supposed to help you become financially free, to help you build generational wealth, all these things that they're telling you. But the hook is you have to buy a $3,000 course, right? That's the hook. And then at the end of the day, after you buy this $3,000 course, what do you really have? You have someone telling you to get, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 worth of credit card debt, run that credit card debt all the way up, and hopefully at the end of the road, you'll have a successful Airbnb company, or you'll have a successful rental car company on Turo or any one of these apps out there. But far too many people just end up paying the $3,000 for the course and nothing actually happens. So what should you be doing? My suggestion is, my humble suggestion. Now, I'm not an internet guru. I didn't go to internet guru financial expert school. I actually went to college and studied finance, accounting, and marketing. Okay. And based on, in my humble opinion, I believe that you should most likely, instead of spending thousands of dollars on a internet online course, on how to get financially free, how about you take that $3,000 and first build up an emergency savings fund, right? Maybe you should take that money and pay down some debt. Maybe you should look into going to some sort of recognized educational body. It can be a junior college. It can be some sort of academy. It can be a trade school, and work on building up the work skills that you need so that you can actually demand more pay, right? If you were to do these things, you would never, ever fall for another get rich quick scam online, because you know what it actually takes to become wealthy. To become wealthy, to build wealth in the United States of America, is going to take discipline, hard work, and creating a plan. If anyone out there is telling you that all you have to do is buy that course, all you have to do is this, all you have to do is that, normally there's a hook behind the offer. With Pocket Watching with JT, listen, people, I'm not here with a hook behind the offer. I'm the guy telling you the basic steps that it takes, but only those who are willing to actually achieve their goals and make sacrifices. See, far too many times, people believe the word sacrifice is a dirty word. I don't know who it was in your life who lied to you, who told you that you can have it all. It doesn't matter what you want in this life. You can have absolutely everything you ever wanted, and you never have to make a sacrifice. Whoever told you that, they lied to you. Not only did they lie to you, but they actually set you back in life. Because if you believe that you don't have to make sacrifices, you don't have to take one choice over the other, you don't have to put yourself in a situation to be disciplined and control your urges to spend all the time, this person was not helping you. They were hurting you. So me, as your brother, as your financial advisor brother on YouTube and on the radio, I'm just here to tell you people, listen, it's okay. Yes, you were lied to. You were hoodwinked. You were bamboozled. You were led astray. But it can be better. You can dust yourself off. You can realize that all the smoke and mirrors of this have anything you want whenever you want it. It doesn't matter if you have the money or not. You can buy it on a credit card. You can go out and get a personal loan. You can do all of these things because if you want it, you deserve it. Well, here's some tough talk for some people who apparently never had any strong figure in your life. Because trust me, I take calls all the time on my show, and I listen to people on the phone who somewhat complain about what they refer to as my approach, right? They're not fans of my tone, right? They will call into the show and they'll say, JT, everything you say is actual facts. You are correct, 100%. The only problem we have with you, JT, is your tone. We feel as if you would say it in a different way, then maybe it would be more effective. Well, let me explain something to the people who are made somewhat uncomfortable by my tone. Let me explain something. My tone means absolutely nothing to the effectiveness of my message. Those of you out there who feel as if my tone is wrong, but my information is correct, what's really going on? Let me explain. Let me lay you down on the couch for a second and act as if I'm some sort of psychologist, okay? You really don't have a problem with my tone. My tone is not the issue to you. The issue is you don't want to do the things that I'm telling you to do. The tone has absolutely nothing to do with it. It is the fact that however you were raised, however your current financial management situation is, you don't want to actually do the hard work to change your financial habits. You would much rather have me on the radio, on YouTube, telling you that it's not your fault. that you are not the person who dig the ditch of debt that you're currently in, that it was society's fault, that it was some boogeyman's fault. You don't really care about my tone. You actually care more about the fact that I am placing the blame of your personal financial problems on you. It's your fault. But if it's your fault, I'm also the guy telling you that you have the power and the ability to get yourself out of it. As long as you're waiting for some sort of financial savior to float out of the sky to help you, you will never have the power to dig yourself out of the ditch that you dug. So if you would like to call and tell me about my tone, listen, I'm more than willing to listen. But you're going to have a very compelling argument. Because I'm telling you, if you call up and tell me everything I'm saying is right, you just wish I had a different tone. Really, you need to look inside and ask yourself the question, am I really willing to do the work and the steps that JT is explaining that would actually get me out of debt, get me in a position where I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, put me in a position where I'm actually building wealth and saving up and investing for retirement so that I'm not standing on my feet and working all the way until my mid to late 70s. See, if you're willing to do that, trust me, my tone is not the issue. Because I played sports, right? Not at an extremely high level. The highest level I got was high schools where I started. And then by the time I got to college, I didn't even see the field. Okay, so let's be clear. I'm not trying to make it seem as if I was some super duper athletes, but I have been on some very high achieving high school teams. I'll say that. And I'm telling you, you don't care about the coach's tone when you're winning. See, when you're winning, and the coach's tone is a little strong and he's set, everything is cool. It ain't that big of a deal when you're winning. See, players normally only get upset by the coach's tone when they're losing or when they're on the bench. See, when you're a starter and coach gets on you a little bit, you normally don't have that big of an issue because you understand he's trying to make me better because if I'm better, the team is better and we all win. But see, when you're the third guy on the bench and you never get to see the game and coach starts to get on you. Now, understand, coach still has the same aim and goal. The coach is still trying to get you better, but you don't see it because you're on the bench. You don't see it because the team's losing. You don't want to hear the constructive criticism because you don't actually feel as if it's going to help you because you're in a losing position. So for those of you who have issues with the way and the tone that you receive information, it's really a gut check time to really ask yourself, is it me? Right? Is it? I think it might be me because it may not be the tone if the information is correct. But let me go to one of the many people who hit me up on the website. Once again, it's pocketwatcher.net. Just click the Ask JT button and I will do the best I can to answer your question. So I had BJ. BJ is left me a question. Says, good afternoon, JT. My wife and I have a mental health agency that we started and have been operating since 2016. We are considered a small business with 10 employees currently. We are looking into offering tuition reimbursement with our company. Are there any tax benefits to offering tuition reimbursement? All right, great question, BJ. So here we go. If you are a employer, right, and you want to provide a benefit to your employees, and this particular benefit would be tuition reimbursement. Is there a tax benefit? Absolutely, there's a tax benefit. You get to write it off as a business deduction. So any amount of money that you are planning to pay towards the tuition of employees, you get to get that as a tax deduction. So let's say you have a employee that has like $10,000 worth of student loan debt, and you want to obviously recruit the best and the brightest employees to your business. So as a incentive for them working for you and not working for your competitor, you could say, not only am I going to pay you X amount of money a year, I'm also going to pay for your tuition. I'm going to give you a reimbursement for your tuition. Now, for you, it's a tax deduction. It's always going to be a tax deduction for you. But I want to give you a little bit of information of how it actually affects your employee. Okay, so same example that I just gave. Let's say you have an employee and they have $10,000 worth of student loan debt. Now, you as the employer, yeah, you can go ahead and write a check for the whole $10,000 and pay either you directly pay off the student loan debt or you can give that check to the employee. But here's the issue for the employee. The employee, they get to receive up to $5,250 of tuition reimbursement tax-free, okay? So $5,250 tax-free. Every dollar over that, and this is annually, every dollar over the $5,250 will be considered taxable income to them. Now, you can always write off the full amount as the employer. I just want to make you aware of how that will affect the employee. The employee can take $5,250 of tuition reimbursement per year, tax-free, meaning you get to deduct the $5,250 and they don't have to report it. Now, you can give them $10,000 and deduct the whole $10,000, but everything over $5,250, the employee will pay taxes on that money as if it was just regular wages that you pay that employee. Okay, BJ, so hopefully that helps you out. But yeah, if you want to include tuition reimbursement as a benefit to your employees, go right ahead. You get to deduct the full amount that you're going to be paying. Just make sure the employee is aware that their W-2 at the end of the year is going to reflect the amount of money that you paid towards their reimbursement of their tuition over the $5,250. All right. So thank you, BJ, for submitting that question on my website. I appreciate it. Let me go to the next one. We have Jordan. Jordan went to pocketwatcher.net. He clicked the Ask JT button and he has this question. If you had no money and had to learn a skill to get money, what skill would be easy to learn and market? Or how would you learn it without school? And how will you sell it to the people to make money from that skill? Okay, now listen, I'm going to answer this question, but you have to understand I'm answering this question based on my personal life experiences, right? This may not fit for everyone, but I'm a base it based on my personal life experiences. So let's say for some reason I get knocked down my head, unconscious, no memory of any of the skills that I currently have, right? And I'm set up, I'm down to zero, no money. If I had to start from zero based on my personal life experiences, the skill set that I would immediately try to learn would be tax preparation, right? And let me explain why I'm choosing tax preparation, right? Tax preparation is a skill set that you can learn that does not require you to actually go to school. Now, I'm not talking about, you becoming a full-fledged tax accountant. I'm not talking about you becoming a CFP, a CPA, you representing people before the IRS. I'm not saying all of that. I'm just talking about preparing tax returns, okay? You can go to, different online courses that are free. I'm talking about free online courses. There's things that you can go to learn basic tax preparation skills. Now, once again, I'm talking about my own personal experience and stuff that I know. So if you bust me down to zero, the very first thing I would learn is how to prepare a tax return. Because everyone needs their tax return prepared at some point, right? So especially small business owners. And if you make your inner circle, the people around you, if they are aware that you know how to prepare tax returns, they most likely will come to you or at least ask you questions about it. That would be my base. Now, from that, I would go on and I would probably, you know, become an enrolled agent, you know, go to the IRS, take my exam, become an enrolled agent so that I can then represent clients before the IRS. I can have a much broader scope of clients. Now, all of this you can do without a college education. All of these things you can do without having a bachelor's degree. You can learn how to prepare tax returns. You can become an enrolled agent. Now, you still have to be a professional. And you cannot be someone with a criminal record, right? But if you are a person who is a go-getter and you want to be a professional and you want to be able to help the community and have a skill set that can earn you money, that would probably be the first thing that I would do. Then I would probably leverage that. And even though I have never sold any financial products, I've never sold insurance, I've never been a stockbroker. But if you're telling me if you bust me down to zero without any of my college education, none of my plaques on the wall, and I have nothing, and I've got to start from zero, I would transition. And after I get the tax preparation skills, I would probably add life insurance license to myself too, because now you're starting to get, after a year or so of being a tax prep professional, you have people who trust you. You have people where you get somewhat of an insight of their financial picture. And then you can see and have conversations with them when you finish preparing their tax return and say, hey, I've noticed you don't have life insurance. You know, life insurance is something that someone who has dependents. Now, if the person don't have anybody dependent on their money, right, they're not a great candidate for life insurance. There's a lot of people out there who sell life insurance who believe life insurance is the answer to every problem. It's not. But you already have your foot in the door. You're already a trusted professional for your clients. If you're dealing with a population of people who are financially illiterate, people who don't have life insurance, and they're not offered a life insurance policy with their employer. And for the most part, those policies that are offered through the employer, they're somewhat low. You're talking about like $50,000, which on one end, it sounds like a lot of money. But honestly, when you're talking about replacing the breadwinner of a household for the foreseeable future, $50,000 does not go a long way. So I would probably leverage the fact that I'm the trusted tax professional for my clients after 1 or 2 years, and then probably look in getting a life insurance license. And then I can also sell life insurance policies to my clients who need it. Once again, I have to say, who need it. And I wouldn't be selling them overpriced, ridiculous insurance policies like whole life insurance, right? I'm the type of person who believes that my client knows how to save the money themselves, or bare minimum, I would teach my client how to save the money themselves, where they don't have to save their money in a life insurance policy. So I wouldn't be selling them whole life insurance. I wouldn't be selling them any type of life insurance policies that are a mixture between investing and life insurance. I would probably just be selling them term life insurance for the people who need it. And then after a while, I mean, just doing those two things, if you are a person who has, you know, a good work ethic, you're a person who can get out there and communicate with people, and you have ethics, you're not trying to cheat people. If you can do those things just with the tax preparation and the life insurance licenses that I would talk about, you could probably end up becoming a millionaire in America after, you know, 15, 20 years with those two skills, with those two skill sets alone. And once again, those two skill sets and those two professions kind of mixed together do not require a college education. Now, if you have one, it kind of helps you with your ability to study and, you know, pass these exams, but it's not required. So, Jordan, that's what I do. You asked me personally what I would do. That's personally what I would do. Now, I know other people, I got other clients who would say, I would get a CDL license. Well, these clients have become millionaires by having the skill set of being able to drive over the road in these very huge trucks. See, JT don't do that. I don't do that. So I can't give you that advice, but I do have clients who have made millions of dollars over the years. You know, let me not confuse you to think the second you get a CDL, you're going to become a millionaire. But these are people who have been able to generate millions of dollars of revenue over their career by having the skill set of driving a truck. So that also may be an option. And there's so many other things, but I'm telling you from my perspective what I would do. So thank you, Jordan, for going to the website and asking that question. All right, let me see here. We have another one. We have Antoinette, and she is asking me, does being a Lyft driver make your car an asset? Okay, this is a good question. Okay, so does being a Lyft driver or Uber driver or someone who drives for DoorDash or any of the gig economy type of independent contractors, because that's basically what you are, right? If you are working one of these gig jobs, you are an independent contractor. You're self-employed. You're an independent contractor, and you are using your vehicle in the operations of your self-employment as an independent contractor to these huge companies that, you know, we find on these apps. Okay, great question. Does that make your car an asset? Well, here's the deal. I'm a stickler for just the way financial terms are used. And here's the problem. I know in popular culture, people talk about, hey, you know, your car is a liability, this, that, and other. Well, technically, that's untrue, right? We're talking about how these words, you know, are actually supposed to be used. A car within itself is technically never a liability. Now, don't run out and try to get some expensive car because JT said a car is never a liability. I'm just trying to explain to you what these terms really mean. Okay. Is your car a liability? No, the car is an asset. The car is always an asset. Okay. In accounting terms, in financial terms, a liability is a loan. A liability is debt. So if someone says your car is a liability, they're somewhat misspeaking. I understand what they're trying to say, but technically in the world of finance, no, the car itself is not a liability. The car note that you have, that is the liability. See, you normally use liabilities to finance the purchase of an asset. Your car is an asset, even without the business, even without driving for Uber, your car is still an asset. The issue is, it is what we refer to as a personal use depreciating asset. That's the problem. It is a personal use depreciating asset, meaning the second you drive off the lot, especially you're getting a brand new car, the second you drive off the lot, the value of the car goes down significantly to the point where you will look up and you actually owe more on the car than you can actually sell the car on the open market. So that's why in general terms, you may hear someone say, oh, that car, you bought that car is a liability. Well, I mean, what's going on is they're skipping a step. The car is an asset. The car is always an asset. The loan that you got on it is the liability. And if you're upside down in equity, meaning that you owe more on the car than what the car is worth, then yeah, okay, it's a liability. But that's technically not right. Okay, but let me get more to the heart of what I think your question is, okay? Since you are driving for Lyft using your personal vehicle, is it an asset? Well, I already answered that on the technical side, but I want to answer your question more directly. Okay. Because you are using your car in the operations of being an independent contractor with this company, you are able to, you know, take on or be able to use certain tax deductions based on the fact that you're using your car. Okay. More times than not, most people will probably use the standard mileage deduction. Okay. The standard mileage deduction is over 50 cents a mile. So this is why if you are in the gig economy and you are using your car within the gig economy, you need to be tracking your mileage. Now, Lyft drivers, I know what you're going to say. Lyft drivers are going to say, oh, don't worry about it. The app tracks my miles. Well, you're halfway correct. Trust me, I've had plenty of clients. I prepared plenty of tax returns for individuals who have driven for Uber, Lyft, whoever. Yes, the app tracks your miles, but it tracks your active miles, meaning the app will track the miles that you are actually driving a customer from point A to point B. It does not track the miles when you don't have a customer in the back seat, but you're still driving around for self-employment reasons. So this is why I'm always going to advocate that if you're in the gig economy, you're using your car to generate revenue, right? To bring money in. You need to always track your miles, even when there's no one in the car, or even if there's no package in the car and you're not technically delivering something, but you're driving around in the capacity of this gig economy. So track your mileage. So you're able to track your mileage. That's one way of doing it. You can also track your actual expenses. So your actual expense is obviously going to be number one, gas. I understand. Yes, I know where gas prices are right now, right? I know that people are paying $5 a gallon, $6 a gallon, some places in the country, $7 a gallon. I know. So yes, you want to also track your actual expenses. So you want to track how much you're spending in gas. You want to be able to track your oil changes. You want to track all of your repairs and maintenance that are related to the fact that you're using your car within this self-employment role. Now, you don't get both. Let me warn you right now. You don't get mileage and actual expenses. You get either or. You get the one, you know, common sense should be, you get the one that's going to give you the highest deduction. So if my mileage gives me a deduction of $8,500 and my actual expenses are around $4,000, then I'm going to go off the mileage. So that's why I'm telling you guys, you want to track both. Now, in the past, before gas prices shot up and are just absolutely ridiculous, in the past, I would almost always tell my clients, listen, we're going to track both. But 9 times out of 10, unless you've had some sort of freak repairs or something ridiculous that you had to do, mileage is probably going to give you your biggest bang, right? That normally mileage just always came out generally to be the biggest deduction for my clients who drove for Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Grubhub, whatever. But I mean, I still always say track both, but especially now the gas prices are so high, you want to track both. So yes, because you are in the gig economy, because you are using your car within the capacity of someone who's an independent contractor working for these big tech companies, yes, your car is an asset and you can use your car and get tax deductions based on the use of your car. So hopefully, I know I kind of went long there on that answer, but hopefully that helped you out. Thank you so much for writing in and going to the website. So listen, people, give me a call, 314-969-6900. That's 314-969-6900. Or of course, you can go to my website, pocketwatcher.net, and you can click the Ask JT button. Give me your name, any name, just give me something so I'm not saying, hey, you, and ask me your question. Okay. I've got another question from someone online here. Name is Langster. I read it how it's spelled. That's all I can do. I read it how it's spelled. Langster. I got a question from Langster. All right. Langster is saying, do you have any recommended personal budget tools or apps? Thank you for all you do as well. That one you had where you were saying how a lot of us are screaming about inflation, yet we have super high interest credit cards and loans. Spoke to me, laugh out loud. I often find myself looking up trust and S corps, etc., but yet needing to focus because my monthly cash flow is negative and have no emergency savings. Listen, Langston, listen, you are speaking to my heart, right? Because you are in a very, very similar situation to many, many, many other people. Okay. Before I give my recommendation on tools, I want to address the second half of your comment, really. Okay. You're a person that obviously you are searching for and you're looking for financial information to improve your life. And to that, I'm always going to applaud because I understand the first step in changing your life, regardless of what it is, if it's mental health, if it's physical health, or if it's financial health, the very first step, you have to recognize that you need help. Until you recognize that you need help, it's going to be a uphill road to you actually changing. So that's step number one. So I see you understand, okay, there's things that need to be changed. But here's the part that I find hilarious and somewhat sad at the same time. And trust me, you're not the only person who's doing this. While you recognize you need to improve your life financially, you're looking up and you're finding all of these high level financial information, right? When you talk about, you're looking up trust, right? You're looking up S corps. You're looking up all of these things that what I would consider, yeah, these are high level things, but you also admit you got a negative balance at the end of every month, right? You're spending more money than you make. So yes, I agree with you. You need to focus on the basic fundamental steps of financial planning before you get lost down the rabbit hole of what type of trust should I get? Should I get a irrevocable trust or revocable trust? Should that revocable trust have all my assets in it? Then should I slide it over to an S corp, or maybe I should have it in a C corp? All of these high level things. And let me explain, I don't blame you. I blame all the fake gurus online who are telling you all this silliness about how you should get a limited liability partnership for your family and all of these high level things. They'll tell you, this is what the Rockefellers do. This is what the Vanderbilts did. You don't have Rockefeller or Vanderbilt money. See, the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts were multimillionaires. And if you actually do the currency evaluation, they were really multi-billionaires in that day. You live paycheck to paycheck. No one living paycheck to paycheck needs to worry about a trust just yet. You need to focus on getting out of this negative deficit of every month. Then maybe down the line, we can have a conversation about S corporations and have a conversation about setting up trust. Bare minimum things that you need to do is, one, create a budget. See, budget in some spaces of this world is considered a bad word. Because when you talk about budget, what people really hear is the stuff you can't have. Right. If I say you need to have a budget, you immediately start to think of all the stuff you can't buy when you want to buy it. But what it actually means is I have a plan for my money. I have a plan to pay for the stuff that I need. And I also have a plan to pay for the stuff that I want. And I don't allow my wants to overtake my needs until the point where I'm broke at the end of every month. So first we have to create that budget. That's number one, right? Making sure that we have certain things in place. Like I said before earlier in the show, if you're a person who has dependents, you have maybe a wife or kids who depend on your money, then yes, we need to have a conversation about getting term life insurance. We also need to obviously talk about health insurance. If you don't have health insurance, listen, being cheap and not getting health insurance can destroy your financial plan in the long run. You can't be cheap and not get, especially when we live in the world of Obamacare. You have no excuse whatsoever. The federal government, if you are low income, the federal government will help pay for your life insurance. I have seen people where the federal government pays 100% of, of their health insurance. Let me make sure I said that right, of their health insurance. I know people who get the federal government pays 100% of their health insurance. You do not live in a country, right? If you're in the U.S., I know I got some people who live stream me in other parts of the world, but I'm talking to all my United States of America pocket watches, all right? If you live within the borders of the United States or the territories, right? Listen, you have no excuse to not have health insurance. One bad bout of whatever in your health can totally destroy. Let's say you've worked hard all your life and you built up a nice nest egg of a couple hundred thousand dollars. You're young, right? Let's say you're in your high 30s, your low 40s. You've built up $300,000, $400,000 worth of investment assets. Then all of a sudden you or a loved one gets cancer. You have no health insurance, right? Being diagnosed with cancer can completely wipe out your savings. So there's a lot of stuff that we want to get to. I want to make sure that I get to the phone. So I have someone on the phone. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. Thank you very much. How can I help you?
Yes, this is Cedric calling from Huntsville, Alabama. And I had a question for you. I'm a active Army reservist, and I got this question last week when we had duty. Sometimes the military reimburses us for our travel, but it's based upon funding. Okay. So my question is, if we are not reimbursed for travel, how does a military member, as far as mileage, get credit for a tax write-off, or is that legal or possible?
Great question. So here we go. So back in 2018, before 2018, anybody, if you relocated, if you were moving from point A to point B that was work related, you were able to take a tax deduction based on the expenses that you had for moving from point A to point B for employment. Now, in 2018, with the new Trump tax law gotten put in place, that was totally wiped away for everybody but the military. Okay. So if you are a member of the military and you have to move from point A to point B based on your employment within the military, you get to take a tax deduction for that. So I'm suggesting to you, you need to track all of your expenses, obviously the ones that weren't reimbursed. You want to track all of the expenses, even if it's like storage and the moving vans or whatever that had to take place, you are allowed to take a deduction, right? So it's not, so let me be clear, because it can be somewhat confusing if you don't understand the tax lingo world. There is a difference between an adjustment to income and an itemized deduction. It's things that we call above the line deduction and below the line deduction. Your moving expenses would be what we would refer to as an above the line deduction. It is an adjustment to income. You will be able to take a tax deduction for the expenses that you have to face based on moving from point A to point B, based on the fact that you are a member of the military. Now, do you normally do your taxes on your own? Do you go to an accountant? You use some software? How does that work?
Well, last year I used your services, and I'll be using that until I retire.
Or hit
the grave.
All right. So here's what you need to do. You need to make sure you keep track of all of the expenses that you incur that are not reimbursed. Okay. All the expenses that you incur that are not reimbursed, and you will be able to get what's referred to an adjustment to income, an above the line deduction based on everything that's what was not reimbursed. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for your help.
All right, boss. Thank you for calling. All right. All right, people, give me a call, 314-969-6900. That's 314-969-6900. Let me get back to Lancaster's question. So Lancaster is asking about any apps that I would recommend. Now, there's a bunch of apps that are free, right? There is an app that is owned by the company that owns TurboTax, Intuit. They own an app called the Mint app, M-I-N-T, like mint gum or whatever, Mint, M-I-N-T. This is a free app. There's a free app in the mindset of the same way that Credit Karma is free. They're always trying to sell you something, but it's a free app. But with this app, you can basically enter in your personal financial information. You can even link your bank accounts with this app, and it's going to help you categorize all of your expenses. You can take a look at this app. It can show you you spent X amount of money at fast food places last month. See, these are things people really don't want to see, right? It's like I always use this example. The person who knows that they're out of shape, they don't like looking at themselves undressed in the mirror. The person who knows that they are spending their money incorrectly, they don't like to look at the way they've been spending their money. But just like the person who's out of shape, you need to look in the financial mirror. You need to look at yourself. So there's the Mint app. There's also Personal Capital. Personal Capital is another app that can be used where you can link your bank information and it will help you categorize everything. Dave Ramsey has an app. It's the Every Dollar app. Now, I believe if you want to link your banking information to the Dave Ramsey app, there's actually a fee. Now, it's free if you just want to use it for budgeting and you manually put your info in. But if you want to use the full version of the Dave Ramsey Every Dollar app, I believe there is a fee. But when it comes to the Mint app and Personal Capital, those are ones that I'm somewhat familiar with. Those are free apps, even when you do link your bank account to it. Now, it's very important you guys actually take the time and do this, because I'm telling you, you will be absolutely amazed when you find out how much money you've been spending on the silliest of things. You will be absolutely amazed by how many times you went to Walmart or Target or wherever, Dollar General, wherever it is. You will be amazed by the actual true dollar amount you spent on stuff you don't even remember. I mean, when you look down and you realize you spent $1,500 at a particular store and you can't account for it. Like, you look in your closet and you can't physically add up how you get to $1,500 because you don't even know where the heck it's going. So I don't personally have any favorite app just yet. I'm still looking around to try to find one that I can like give you the pocket watcher stamp of approval. But those are three apps that I've had clients use in the past. And they, you know, some people liked them, some people didn't like them. So they switched from one and they went to the other. The main focus should be get started. Get started. You have to pick one. Pick the Mint app or pick Personal Capital or pick Every Dollar. Wherever it is, pick one and start using it and try to get that thing backdated as far as possible, right? So when you download that app and it asks you, what date would you like us to start reviewing your information? Don't say, okay, I want to start from the day moving forward. Because the day moving forward is not going to give you the info you really need. I want you to tell that app to go back as far as it can. If it can go back a year, that would be great. But most likely, it probably can go back all the way to the first of the year. But try to get that thing set back as far as possible so you can get a better view of how the heck you've been spending your money. Because I'm telling you, it is a real come to Jesus moment when you see that you spent $2,500, $3,500 on fast food and your mortgage or your rent's like $1,200. You will really get a better understanding of how recklessly you have been spending your money. Because I say this all the time, too. Most of you out there, under the sound of my voice, if you're living paycheck to paycheck right now, there's an extremely high probability that your issue is not an income problem. Your issue is a spending problem. Now, would it be great if you made more money? Of course. Of course it would be better if you made more money. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't make more money or you don't need to make more money. What I'm telling you is your core problem, the thing that is actually hurting you financially, more than the fact that you wish you made more money, is the fact of how you are currently spending the money that you have. The way that you are actively spending your money right here, right now, that is most likely your problem. If you were even given more money, this is the sad truth. If for some way, somehow, right, if the pocket watcher had a magic wand and I was able to double your income with the wave of my wrist with this wand, you would still live paycheck to paycheck. Now, I know some of you may say, hey, JT, that's crazy. I make $45,000 right now. If you wave that magic wand and all of a sudden I was making $90,000 a year, there's no way I would be living paycheck to paycheck. Yes, you would, based on case study. Case study tells me that if I was to double your income, yeah, for the first couple of months, you'll probably be doing better. Maybe you'll catch up on your back bills. But let about 6 months go by. Let a year go by. All of a sudden, you will be living paycheck to paycheck again because there's a thing called lifestyle creep. You will be spending most likely something around $90,000 a year, even because you're making 80. It's just ridiculous. All right, let's go to the calls. I've got a caller on here. Caller, thank you for calling in. You are live on the air. We're pocket watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hey, how's it going, JT?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you real quick. I had a question. I own my own business, mm-hmm. and I have two 12-year-old children who are also looking for ways to make money. And I was thinking, have you experienced where we can actually add our children on payroll potentially for any added like tax benefits?
Yes. So this is what you have. So let me give you an example. So what you're basically doing, what we refer to it as income shifting. Okay. If you are a small business owner, or just a business owner in general, if you're a business owner and you have underage children who work in your business, you can give them a position within your company and you can pay them. And you can pay them all the way up to whatever the standard deduction is for an individual. So the standard deduction for an individual is over $12,000. Okay. So you can pay each one of your children up to $12,000. And for them, it's income that they would not have to report. You would not even have to pay payroll taxes for them. Right. But it's a deduction for yourself. Now, once again, these are underage children and they're actually performing a job within your business. They're clearly defined, right? So I would suggest that you contact a local accountant within your area. They can give you all the details in that. But yes, the business gets a tax deduction. Okay. Business gets a tax deduction and the children get money that is not reportable for income tax purposes because it's under the threshold for them to report it. Okay.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
All right. Thank you.
My last question is, how do we go about booking a consultation with you? That's my last question.
Oh, perfect. Just go to my website. Go to pocketwatcher.net. Click the book a consultation. All the information is there. So just go to pocketwatcher.net. Perfect. Click book consultation. It'll walk you all the way through it. Okay.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. I got one last caller of the day. Caller, thank you so much. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hey, JT, this is John calling you.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. Hey, this is the last time we spoke, there was we talked about investing.
All right.
And you said that you're really into index funds.
Yeah, I'm big on index fund for the most part. I hate to do this to you. I got 3 minutes, so try to hit me with it right now. What's your question?
No, there was something I wanted to share with you for some of the people that listen to the program.
Go ahead.
There's a gentleman by the name of Gary Antanasi,
mm-hmm.
and he's actually one of the people who, he's kind of one of these guys who's been behind the scenes for about 20, 30 years, went to Harvard, has a very extensive background in creating portfolios, and he wrote one of the top-rated investment books called Dual Momentum Investing.
Uh-huh.
And it's a book that's available on Amazon. So basically, under his system, it's a way to beat the market using index funds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I'm just a big fan of index funds at the end of the day because it's passive, right? I don't want another job. I already have a job. Right. And most of the people under the sound of my voice, they already have a job. I don't want them to have to create a second job for themselves of trying to analyze individual businesses, individual stocks, try to buy and sell like some sort of crazy day trader on speed. Right. It just makes more sense to go and to grow your income passively, to grow your investments passively through an index fund. Set it, forget it, and move on. All right. Hey, John, thank you for calling. I'm up against a tight end, but thank you for calling. I absolutely appreciate it. Okay. All right, people. Listen, man, that hour went by fast. Listen, if you are unable to call in, always, you can go to the website, pocketwatcher.net. Just hit the Ask JT button. Give me a name, any name. I don't care what it is. Give me a name. Ask me your question. I'm going to do the best I can to give you a recommendation to help you move on in your life. If you want to book a personal consultation with me, you can still go to pocketwatcher.net, click the button, book a consultation. And always, you can call my office here locally in the St. Louis area. Phone number is 314-776-9076. That is 314-776-9076. Thank you so much. If you want more content, go to your podcasting tool. You can always look for Pocket Watching with JT on any podcast platform. And always on YouTube, check me out, Pocket Watching with JT on YouTube. We are 57,000 subscribers strong. How about you add one more to it? Thank you, guys. I will catch y'all next week on the air, but you will see me on YouTube Live in a couple of days. Thank you.